You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome into the Gym Class at 4 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock as we come your way from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Scott Unash with you. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side will be joining us coming up here in just a moment, the former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Big show coming up for you. David Eicholt will join us. We thought we were going to just talk spring football. Oh, how silly were we. Yeah, a little basketball news developing over the last 24 hours. So we'll do both. We'll talk about the transfer announcement of C.J. Frederick from the Iowa basketball team, and we will talk about the open practice that the Iowa football team went through on Saturday, which seems like about 3 years ago now today, after everything that has gone on in the basketball realm. So we'll do that coming up here. David Eicholt with 24/7 Sports covers the Iowa Hawkeyes. And we'll get your reactions as well to the news from Iowa City, from C.J. Frederick, as the Iowa basketball team going to have a very, very much a different look for 2021 and 2022. And talk about a great feat as well over the weekend from Iowa City. Thank you for listening. 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City as well. And also, big thanks for tuning in at KGYM Radio on the stream, the KGYM mobile app, and also, of course, your smart speaker. And don't forget, starting today, a little bit earlier, as a matter of fact, pardon our interruption on KGYM Sports Radio. And we're going to be interrupting your favorite host each and every weekday this week to give you a shot at winning $1,000. There are multiple times to win on multiple KGYM platforms, our frequencies, and we invite you to listen in throughout the day. When you hear us interrupt any radio show on the gym with the cash keyword, head to KGYMradio.com and enter in that hour's keyword for your chance to win $1,000. It is that simple. Not only that, but during the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn, coming your way from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. All this week, they have your shot at a family four-pack of tickets to opening day at Veterans Memorial Stadium. The Colonels will take on the Peoria Chiefs 6:30 on Tuesday night, May the 4th. And for more information, you can go to KGYMradio.com. All about that. And again, thank you very much for tuning in on this Monday. We do appreciate it that Mark, I think we're off to what, winter number three? It's a mini winter, but it's winter number three, I think, especially in the southern part of our listening area as we bring you in here on this Monday afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Sure appears so. Your weather description. And hope everybody had a great weekend, and it's developed into a fairly newsy Monday.
Yeah, I think so. Fairly newsy indeed. We thought we were just going to be talking about the Iowa spring football open practice, but then you had two interesting things develop out of Iowa City. One of those being, of course, the news of C.J. Frederick and his transfer. He is going into the transfer portal, announced that. Started to come out yesterday, and the official designation made today by the Iowa Athletic Department and Fran McCaffrey. And we'll talk about what the Iowa basketball team is going to look like. I guess that's the bad news. The good news, though, is the Cinderella journey of the Iowa women's soccer team, Mark, as they put the Big Ten on its head by going all the way, Major League Cleveland Indians style, and winning the Big Ten soccer, women's soccer championship. They're in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I have to admit, I got reeled in Friday when Iowa played Penn State and beat the number six team in the land. And then yesterday when Iowa faced Wisconsin, a team that had beaten Iowa during the regular season in a championship game. And lo and behold, a 1-0 Iowa victory. Big Ten champions. Quite an unlikely story when you consider this is a team, although it made the NCAA tournament in 2019, it did not score a goal in its first six games. And really was not expected to do a heck of a lot in the Big Ten tournament, but four victories later, it's really quite a story and quite unlikely. I think the players on the team will tell you, well, we developed over the year, but to get to this point, it was just a remarkable accomplishment. The Hawkeyes have drawn Campbell University out of North Carolina. Campbell 8-3-1 on the year. Iowa and Campbell will face off a week from tomorrow at 3 o'clock in Cary, North Carolina, and the winner will get number 3 ranked UCLA.
Yeah, but congratulations to the Iowa soccer program, and that is great to see out of Iowa City. 319-366-1600 text line available to you as we come your way on this Monday edition of the Gym Class program. You heard that, right, Buttons? He heard that, yeah. But the big news is C.J. Frederick, Mark, announcing that he is going to be entering the transfer portal, and he is going to be leaving the University of Iowa. Lots of speculation out there about where C.J. is going to land. There are thoughts about the University of Kentucky as far as the Wildcats are concerned. They were not in amongst the suitors for C.J. when he came out of college, but I guess things can change. I know you posted and tweeted about the list of schools that C.J. was highly recruited by when he was coming out of high school, and we'll see where it plays out, but this is another exit from an Iowa basketball roster that had a lot of seniors, some people that we don't know what's going to happen with them next year. And we do know one thing. It's going to be certainly a different-looking roster at Carver Hawkeye Arena next year.
Quite different. And although the news had kind of trickled out over the last few days that Frederick was a possible transfer or someone to enter the transfer portal, it's still surprising to me that Fran McCaffrey and his family have close ties. And Frederick has been a very big contributor for two seasons, plays excellent defense, hardly commits a turnover. I think he went a span of over 600 minutes without committing a turnover, and averaged, I think, 10 his freshman year, 7.5 this past season, although he had encouraged some injuries. But I'll be interested to see where he lands. Most of his suitors when Iowa signed him were mid-majors. Schools like Ball State and Lipscomb and Northern Kentucky and others. But perhaps a school like Kentucky has decided and seen what Frederick can do. And as far as the Iowa basketball roster for next season goes, man, oh, man, no Jack Nungy, probably not a Jordan Bohannon, no C.J. Frederick, probably not a Joe Wieskamp. Of course, Luca Garza gone as well, and two walk-ons and Michael Bear and Austin Ash moving on as well. But you have to remember the transfer portal goes both ways.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I have to believe that Fran McCaffrey and his staff are making a tremendous number of evaluations as to what to do in the transfer portal. It has to. There's no two ways about it, because you've got a hole in the middle and you got to find another shooter. And that's the subject of our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Thanks to Steve Anderson down there in Iowa City. What is Fran McCaffrey's biggest priority at the moment? Would it be finding another post player or finding a shooter? Go ahead and vote.
KGYMRadio.com. I would say post right now. a proven post, and we'll get to that reasoning coming up here in just a moment. Text line available to you at 319-366-1600. And you mentioned the fact the transfer portal, the doors swing both ways as far as it is concerned. And I think it's naive of people right now in 2021 to believe that your program is not going to be touched at all by this rule change. And we'll talk to David Eicholt coming up in a little bit, and he mentioned the fact that over three players on average from every team in Division I basketball may be influenced by the transfer portal coming in or leaving. Iowa State has been heavily influenced by it. When Steve Prohme was left the coaching realm, several players went with him or left when Steve Prohme left. And now TJ Altzelberger, and they brought in a highly touted recruit at one time from Kansas. He will now be an Iowa State Cyclone starting next year as well. Probably will get to play right away, I'm sure. But it's a situation where you're going to lose people and you're going to gain people. And I know there were several, and there will be even more, commentaries as far as the paper is concerned, whatnot, and just written about the transfer portal. And I guess it's hitting home as far as Iowa City is concerned for the first time in a big, big way. This was rumored for the last couple weeks, and now it has come to fruition. You're just not going, if you're a program that doesn't have someone leaving or someone coming in, then you are a very rare commodity these days.
Yeah, it's so true. You mentioned the Iowa State commitment, Tristan Inamura. He was a four-star recruit coming out of high school, went to Kansas, 6'8", small forward, but only averaged 2.8 points and 1.6 rebounds. Just didn't do a whole lot at Kansas. Maybe a change of scenery will benefit him. Clearly, he was a talented player coming out of high school, but I agree with your point that rare is the program, at least in the short term here, that isn't going to be affected and has been affected by transfers. And now the one-time transfer rule, will that change things? You know, I don't know. But you just seen it affected with the Iowa program, with Frederick and Nungy and both of the walk-ons entering the portal. Of course, Luca Garza is done, but what I would like to hear out of C.J. Frederick is why.
But you don't have to give that reason anymore.
Maybe it's none of our business, and it's certainly immaterial now that he has made this decision. Is it to get closer to home? In the Kentucky, Ohio area? Is it because he was displeased with something in the Iowa program? Does he see the writing on the wall next year that this team won't be nearly as good as the last couple? I'd like to hear from him, and probably won't, but the curiosity is there for me.
David and Hudson on the text line. Hopefully the transfer portal will slow down after this year, and if it doesn't, college basketball has a big problem on its hands. David, it's not going to slow down. I think it's probably even going to take off even more. Of course, now you've got the one free transfer in your back pocket. That coming out last week from the NCAA. But for whatever reason, and if it's the world that we live in 2021, then that's the world we live in 2021. But one thing, or whatever, a series of things go wrong and you head for the door. 3148 comments, just very, very bluntly, back to mediocrity. I guess that remains to be seen. We'll see. 4398 on the text line. Do you think CJ leaving will influence Joe W. and Bohannon's decisions about returning? Yes. I told you this morning, Mark, I am now shifting. I thought it was 60-40. I said last week that Joe Wieskamp would leave. I have amended my odds to I say 75 to 80% that Joe Wieskamp is leaving. He comes back, and if there's no Bohannon, you already know there's not going to be a Garza. There's not going to be a Nungy. Why come back and be double-teamed and triple-teamed at times? I don't know. Maybe that's not the case, but we'll see out there.
Yeah, I'd agree with that on Wieskamp, and I don't know what is entering Jordan Bohannon's mind or what he's considering. Perhaps that will influence him in the other way. I don't know. There's a shooting guard for you, which would eliminate one of the options on the poll question, but I'd really be shocked if Jordan came back.
I would be too. Same thing, I think, with Joe Wieskamp right there. 9049, yes, commenting about T.J. Otzelberger. New coach seemingly getting it done at Iowa State. And 5037, the press release today from Iowa and Fran's comments just last week about CJ are a bit bizarre. I would agree. I would agree. It wasn't your typical, you know, we wish blank, blank, blank the best of luck as he goes. I mean, there was a little bit of that, but it wasn't quite as flowery as your usual releases that came out of Iowa City today. So we'll see. We'll see. 319-366-1600 as we come your way on a Monday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. David Eichholt's going to join us in a little bit. Let's take a look right now at the roster for this Iowa basketball team. There are 8 people on it right now, 8 players on it, Mark, that we know of. Well, 10, I should say, 10, because the reclassified big man coming in from New York and then Peyton Sanford from Waukee, they are not listed on the roster right here, but 10 right now. It's going to be, you take a look at things, it's going to be a very guard-heavy team next year. Aaron Ulis, definitely a good player. Tony Perkins came on, both of those guys late in the year, especially Tony Perkins, the freshman out of Lawrence North in Indianapolis. We know what Keegan Murray did this year, Patrick McCaffrey, Connor McCaffrey, he's coming off of surgery. Ogundele out of London, didn't play a whole lot last year. It's going to be, yes, a different looking team, but it's, boy, you got to think it's going to be a much different style of Iowa basketball next year.
Well, yeah, without Bohannon, Frederick, and Wieskamp, the perimeter threat just isn't apparent to me. Toussaint is not a threat. Ulis and Perkins have not demonstrated that as of yet. Maybe somebody will step up. Keegan Murray can make an occasional three, as can Patrick McCaffrey, but nothing like what Iowa had this past season. And then you eliminate your two big guys in the middle, and Nungy and Garza. Man, it's going to be, I guess, we'll pump the brakes a little bit until we see who Fran McCaffrey may or may not bring in, because that could change things, our feelings one way or another. But as it stands right now, it is going to be a totally different team, and whether it's back to mediocrity, we'll see.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. We know Peyton Sanford can shoot it. There's no doubt. He can light it up from the outside, the young man out of Waukee. And if you had any doubts of the fact that he was going to play a lot and a big role in Iowa's basketball team next year, well, you know that now is going to be the case. What is Keegan Murray going to do? Keegan Murray played backup quite a bit at the end of the year to Luka Garza in the middle. Keegan Murray's not a center, and I know Keegan would do it if he needs to, and if Fran McCaffrey asked him to. He's just that kind of a guy, but that's not where you want Keegan Murray, because he's not going to be at his best right there. Do you just throw a Ogundele in there right away? I mean, there's just a lot of questions out there. Boy, this better be a team that can guard and get up and down the floor in transition. You got to think for next year for Iowa basketball.
Yeah, and I'd reiterate that we don't know what's going to happen in Iowa's favor in the transfer portal, and that could change things in a hurry, depending on who Fran McCaffrey brings in. But you're already losing. I mean, I think Iowa at this point is returning only about 25 points a game from a very high-powered offense last year. You take Garza out of there. You take probably Wieskamp out of there. You take Jordan Bohannon out of there. And take Nungy out of there. I mean, that's a lot of significant pieces.
Yeah, it is. It is. 319-366-1600. As we come your way on the Monday edition of the Gym Class, David Eichhold's going to join us coming up here in about 5 minutes or so, as we will talk about the C.J. Frederick transfer. We haven't even got to the Iowa Open spring practice on Saturday morning as of yet. We'll talk with David about that. Good to see people in the stands, though. At Kinnick Stadium. That was good to see, and everywhere out there. 64-29, we may be much better defensively next year, but who is going to produce the points?
Exactly.
And that's going to be, if you're used to 85-point games for Iowa basketball, might not be the case next year. We'll see, unless they can get up and down the court. Like we said, when I think there was a listener last week, Mark, that asked us, who do you think Iowa's big man is going to be? And I said, and you said as well, I don't think he's there yet. Mm-hmm. And I was after the University of North Dakota center, one of the suitors for that gentleman. There are other people that Iowa is involved with as far as talks are concerned. And basically, it is talks now. It's negotiation. This is free agency, Mark. This is pure and simple, is college free agency is what we have right now.
Well, it opens the door for a lot of potential tampering as well. And I'm not naive enough to think that
what?
It doesn't go on now, but it's just a free for all.
71-48, without mentioning names, are there any other whispers of people leaving? The only one I ever heard whispers on, and this was actually during the latter half of the season, was Joe Toussaint. But that has kind of gone cold a little bit. Boy, if I was Joe Toussaint, I would think I would be in really good position right now to get a ton of playing time next year. So I think he stays. I don't think anyone else. I mean, that's four into the transfer portal for Iowa. And that's over the average, or just slightly over the average of a Division I basketball program now, believe it or not, in 2020-2021. There could be somebody else, but I think everything is going to be pretty pat from here on in. And Iowa's got, who knows, Iowa's got scholarships to give out now in the next couple of years. We'll see how it all plays out. Going to be interesting, though, in the next couple of weeks. And you have to strike while the iron is hot, as you know, Mark. You got to get out there and get these transfers coming in, or you're going to be on the sideline.
No doubt about it. And TJ Otzelberger is kind of proving that right now. And you know, let's not get overly excited about what he's done. They haven't played a game yet. You know, this might be a hell of a group that he brings in, and Iowa State basketball can only go up, right?
Yeah,
so anything Otzelberger does next year is going to be fairly decent. But once again, they haven't played a game together yet.
True. 319-366-1600. And then the most interesting transfer portal piece of news from the weekend is that you have a starting guard from the Iowa State women's basketball team going to the Iowa women's basketball team, and Kylie Feuerbach. Interesting.
Yeah, that is very interesting. And I was trying to think, men's or women's, how many times that has happened. And I could only think of Adam Haluska.
Yeah.
He started at Iowa State and went to Iowa.
Carroll native.
I'm sure I'm missing someone.
Yeah, you'd have to go back and look things over, and go through the annals and see how it plays out. But man, oh man, it's crazy. Keeps you on your toes, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, as good a player as she is, I think she was one of the best freshmen of the year, freshmen in the Big 12 this year. Iowa's got a stacked front court, and she will add depth, but how much playing time will she get?
Yeah. 31-48. No, A.J. Green has not entered the transfer portal with his dad going to Iowa State. So did not do that. As you commanded and wished, the text line helping Mark, 57-31, Alex Thompson. And 64-29, we've already forgotten this one. I don't think we've forgotten. It just slipped our mind a little bit. How about Stacey Fries going from Iowa to Iowa State?
I throw these things out here just to engage our listeners. You know that.
Yeah, Stacey.
And they come through. Yeah, they come through.
Stacey did very well. One of the great guards of all time for Iowa State and Bill Fenley. Some great teams that she played on. Over in Ames over there. 319-366-1600. 330, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. David Eicholt will join us from 24/7 Sports, and we'll talk about C.J. Frederick, and we will also talk some spring football when we come back here in the Gym Class on KGYM.
Reimagine your outdoor living space with Alexander Lumber and Trex. Choose the enduring beauty and durability of Trex composite decking, engineered to eliminate time-consuming maintenance while offering superior scratch, fade, and stain resistance. You'll spend way less time taking care of your deck and a whole lot more time enjoying it. The experts at Alexander Lumber can't wait to help you create the deck of your dreams. Stop and see them at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Spring is showtime at BetMGM. Baseball is back, and as the weather warms up, the hockey and basketball action gets even hotter. It's the perfect time to take a shot at an easy 100 from the King of Sportsbooks. Sign up today using code HANSON100, HANSON100, and win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Bulls or Celtics. And if either team hits a three, you win, regardless of your bet's outcome. No matter what your favorite sport is, BetMGM is always at your fingertips with innovative parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use code HANSON100, that's Hanson with an O, to win $100 in free bets when you wager $1 on the Bulls or Celtics to hit a three. New customer offer paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older. Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
You already know Network Computer Solutions protects your network and computers, but did you know they can also protect your business with a security system? NCS offers everything: camera systems, door access, key fob entrance cards, even 24-hour video surveillance. They understand how important security is to your work and your people, so they customize every element for you. For a free consultation and site review, call NCS at 247-7223. 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT and security puzzle.
Back with you on the Gym Class at 3:33 here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. No Twins game tonight. Third successive day that the Twins are going to be postponed. They had the COVID situation in Anaheim, and the last two games of that series are postponed. The beginning of the series in Oakland also postponed. They will play a doubleheader coming up tomorrow, beginning at 5 o'clock. That'll be on the Jim OT 107.5 FM, coming your way at that time. 2 7-inning games as the Twins take on the Oakland A's. And I think everyone cleared now, I read. Is that true, Mark, with the Twins?
I haven't looked today, but that was the case yesterday, and hopefully that will continue. And by the way, you mentioned the Angels. Scott Schebler out of Prairie and Kirkwood. Back up in the major leagues. That's good to see.
Yeah, that is good to see indeed. 319-366-1600 at 3:34 as we come your way on The Monday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. We've been talking a ton about C.J. Frederick, about the Iowa basketball team and their makeup for next year, and going to talk more about that. We may even get in something that we were going to discuss with David Eichhold when we talked with him yesterday, and that was spring football. Oh, how quickly we forget about spring football, David. How you doing?
Hey, good, guys. Really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah. Spring football took a back burner in an open practice very suddenly last night, didn't it?
No, it definitely did. I know that this news really surprised a lot of people, especially Iowa fans, with the role that C.J. Frederick was likely to take on next year. But, you know, I think when you take a step back, it makes sense in a lot of ways, but it also doesn't make sense in a lot of ways. I think you look at the team next year, just how different it's going to look. I mean, keep in mind, a lot of people that C.J. Frederick is close with, that he kind of came in with, are departing. I think Joe Wieskamp's going to the NBA. I think there's a greater than 85 to 90% chance that happens. Again, that's just what I believe. Luka Garza's gone. I don't think Jordan Bohan's coming back. Jack Nungey, who he was extremely close with, is off to Xavier. Maybe C.J. with the one-time transfer rules, just looking to maybe get out, maybe get closer to home, maybe have a different role than he would have taken on at Iowa had he returned. So, you know, a lot of questions I don't think we'll ever really find answers to, but I'm very interested to see what's both to come for C.J. and especially for Iowa, because you talk about a completely different team going into next year. I mean, I believe they returned 23% of their scoring, and people wanted athletic, quick guards. Well, they're going to have that, but that offense is not going to be that perimeter-oriented-based attack that we saw last season.
It would seem obvious, David, to me anyway, that Fran McCaffrey, I don't think, has totally embraced the portal by any means, but he's going to have to go there. It seems obvious to me that he'll get two players, a post player and a shooting guard. What say you?
Yeah, I think that's a big question right now. And I tweeted earlier today, I said, look, for college basketball coaches cross country, this is not just at Fran McCaffrey. With the way the transfer portal's working, adapt or get left in the dust. I think that really is the reality of it now. You look at the transfer portal, there's more than 1,400 players in there, which is about four per Division I school. Keep in mind, they're not all scholarship players, but that's still a very staggering number, I think. So I think that's the big question mark. You know, I really think Iowa should go try to get three players. I don't know if they will. They have to get at least two, in my opinion. They 100% have to get one big man. They have to get a shooter. But I also think they would greatly benefit them to get maybe another big guy or another shooter, just because you look down the list, there's really no proven shooter right now on this roster. I think Tony Perkins can be a good Big Ten basketball player, but he's not a great outside shooter yet. We haven't seen Aaron Ulis, what he can do. Joe Toussaint, obviously, has not pulled up from three-point range very often. Keegan Murray, Patrick McCaffrey, both kind of hit and miss guys. And Connor, we've seen get hot every once in a while, but, you know, with the way the Fran McCaffrey's offense works, I really think that they might have to get two shooters and one big guy, but for sure one shooter, for sure one big guy. And if you ask me, does Iowa have their starting big men on their roster right now? The answer is no. I think that that's going to have to come through the transfer portal. But I do think that Riley Mulvey, the kid who reclassified from 2022 to 2021, it's not been made official by Iowa yet, but that's going to happen. I think he's going to play 10 to 15 minutes again next year. As far as Joshua Gundelay goes, I think that's kind of the wild card among the bunch of the big men.
Iowa's best shooter right now may be Peyton Sanford, and he's at Waukee.
You know what? I think that's a very legitimate argument. And that's no slight against anybody else on the team. I think Peyton's going to come in. I think he can immediately shoot 40-plus percent from three-point range. Probably one of the better shooters in the Midwest, but he's definitely going to have to put on some strength, and he's going to have to improve defensively. But I'll tell you, if Iowa wants to stretch the floor, Peyton's role might have just gotten a lot bigger than he originally thought, you know, 48, 72 hours ago, hanging in next season.
David, spring football, there's a availability for you guys in the media and for fans Saturday at Kinnick Stadium. Each and every year, there are guys that surface in either a spring game or a spring practice who really didn't, we really didn't know much about. Who do you think opened some eyes among those that, you know, weren't a Goodson or Peters?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, the obvious answer would have to be Tyrone Tracy, but I think a lot of people expected him to take a step forward with Brand Smith, Amir Smith, Marcetto. A guy also on the bunch, I think John Wagoner could play a really big role on this team. The Dowling Catholic grad, former four-star recruit by 24/7 Sports. He had a couple of very nice sacks along the edge, and I think he took kind of a lesser role last season. Yeah, he played a little bit, but he was more on the interior defensive tackle. And I've always thought that his highest potential is on the outside, and they moved him back out there. I think he has a chance to be a pretty solid pass rusher for Iowa this upcoming season. I love his swim move. He has a good bull rush, and I think his consistency is getting there. I think he's going to need to improve his run-stopping ability and the ability to contain the edge. But if you talk about a guy that might be able to get in the backfield a little bit and make some big plays happen, I think that Wagoner can be that guy, and I really liked what I saw out of him. Another guy that I'll say people keep an eye on is Luke Lachey, the redshirt tight end, son of former Ohio State All-American, three-time NFL All-Pro lineman Jim Lachey. 6'6", 240 pounds, probably one of the more dynamic pass catchers among the 2020 recruiting class as far as tight ends go. He was an All-American. He had about 43 yards on four catches, but he's a guy that I think could be a big red zone threat going in next year. Maybe be that 1-2 punch with Sam Laporta, because with Sean Byard departing, Iowa's going to need to find that backup tight end or second or third tight end. I think Lachey can step into that. And I'll say this, as far as defense goes, I think Kayvon Merriweather is poised for a big, big breakout season with his athleticism, his playmaking ability. He had interception on Saturday, and I believe it was Spencer Petras' third pass. So I think Kayvon Merriweather could be a big, big boost to that secondary, which is already going to be one of the most experienced secondaries in the country.
David Eichel joining us from 24/7 Sports, 341 make that on the Monday edition of the Gym Class. You talked about Spencer Petras. A lot of people had the eyeballs centered on the returning quarterback for the Hawkeyes to see if the accuracy was improved off of 2020. And to see Padilla and Deuce Hogan and people like that, what was your view of the quarterback play?
You know, I think I have a little bit of a different perspective than some other people. I really saw all three of them on a very similar level, but they all have different skill sets. I think that Spencer started off kind of rough. He threw the only interception. He threw an interception in his third pass, but when it came to the two-minute drill at the very end, he went. He completed four straight passes before overthrowing a deep out route, but then that drive was concluded with a Tyler Goodson 33-yard run. I was very impressed with Alex Padilla. I remember there was about a 10-minute span where Petras left the field with a very, very, very minor tweak in his knee, I believe it was, but he came back and finished the practice. But, man, Alex Padilla looked sharp. He had a lot of crispness on the ball, threw some really good passes, led two touchdown drives. And I think Deuce Hogan really showed what he can do. I think that he showed nice scrambling ability. I think that he commanded the offense well. The offensive line did not have their best day, but I'm a believer that the offensive line is probably the shakiest of any position group when it comes to spring football. That was no exception on Saturday. But I think Deuce Hogan's got a big arm. I think he can read the field very well. I think he makes good decisions. But, you know, I think Spencer has the advantage because of the experience and the leadership. I did like what I saw out of him a little bit as far as the deep ball goes, but he did make a couple poor decisions. But I think Spencer will start, you know, this upcoming season. But, man, I'll tell you, I really think it's a lot closer than from at least what I saw on Saturday. I saw all three of them probably on a similar level.
Yeah, and that is – it can be good, but it also can be a little dangerous, as you know.
It really can. You know, again, I think that – I know a lot of people want to call for Petras to be benched or to give Padilla a shot or to give Hogan a shot, but people need to realize it's never really that simple. And I think that with Spencer being able to go through a full spring, I think that's so just massive for his development, especially going into next season. When you start in a college football game, in kind of that situation he was in last year, he was really in a bad situation. I think that he does deserve credit. In the last two games of the season, he finished with five touchdowns and zero interceptions. And My other thought process behind it is, do you really want Deuce Hogan or Alex Padilla making their first career start against an arguably top 12, top 15 Indiana team, and then follow that up with probably a top 10 Iowa State team? Iowa's probably got one of the toughest week one and week two opponents of anybody in the country. And I think that having Petras back there with that experience is going to, I think it's going to ultimately help Iowa.
You touched on Tyrone Tracy, probably wide receiver number one, without question, I guess. Nico Reganey, not participating in the spring, but others, Keegan Johnson, Arlen Bruce. Talk about the pecking order at wide receiver.
Yeah, you know, I do think that Keegan Johnson's going to play a pretty big rotational role for this team. I think another guy you need to throw in there is Charlie Jones, who was the all Big Ten punt returner last year, but is working to be able to kind of solidify himself more offensively. I think he's going to be able to earn those opportunities, but I really thought Keegan had an outstanding day. I was very impressed. And had a couple great catches, made some big plays, and it was interesting to me where they played him at gunner on special teams, and he downed a punt to the one-yard line. And while Arlen Bruce didn't get quite as many reps in the first part of the practice, I think he definitely made his impact known by the end. I think he might be one of the fastest wide receivers, if not the fastest wide receiver Iowa has, and his shiftiness, there's just a natural playmaking bit about him. So with Brandon Smith and Neer Smith-Marset sort of departing, I think without a doubt, without question, Tyrone Tracy has to be your number one. In fact, I think he's going to be Iowa's first all Big Ten wide receiver since I think it was Marvin McNutt back in 2012. I really think he's poised to be just for a massive season. Like you said, I think Nico Reganey 2, Charlie Jones 3, and then I think Keegan Johnson and Arlen Bruce are going to be right there. But another guy you might want to keep an eye on too is Quavon Matthews. He was wearing number 12 during the practice. I really thought he had a handful of really nice catches. His route running was crisp. I don't know how big a rotational role he'll play, but he might be a guy that you want to maybe keep a closer eye on when they open the doors back up into Kinnick on May 1st.
Yeah. You talked about the defense, and the defensive secondary is going to be one of the best in the country. The back seven, I think you can make a pretty good argument that Iowa is pretty set back there, at the linebacker spot with Campbell and the rest of the guys. Dane Belton coming in as well and playing that spot. But that back seven can pretty much stick with anybody in the Big Ten.
Oh, without question. I think you look at the 79 total starts among the secondary, and I think that you look at Seth Benson, I thought, had a tremendous day as far as linebacking goes on Saturday. Then, obviously, I think people know what to expect from Jack Campbell at this point and what his ceiling is. I think he's an all-Big Ten caliber linebacker with what he's shown last year. And like you said, you just kind of go down the list. And we haven't even mentioned Xavier Williams yet from Northern Iowa, the grad transfer, who's the first-team Valley cornerback. And I think that he's going to have a big role in this defense as well. So you combine that with the 79 starts in the secondary and a very deep linebacking group. And I think that Justin Jacobs showed me a lot at outside backer on Saturday. And I think that he's going to be able to play a role along with Dane Belton. Like you said, I think that there's a good foundation in that back seven to where if the defensive line takes a couple of games to kind of get settled and to kind of find that rotation, I think they can afford that. With that being said, I do think that Iowa's defensive line, they played better than I thought they would on Saturday. And that was without Yahweh Black, without Logan Jones. And some of these guys, I think fans are going to be slowly become more familiar with. So I think that, you know, as crazy as it sounds, and as much as Iowa continues to lose on the defensive line, I think that, you know, they might take a minor step back. But when you combine the rest of talent, potential, and experience on this Iowa defense, I mean, Phil Parker, I think, has exactly what he needs and exactly what he wants to be able to make it, again, probably one of the best defenses in the big, not just in the Big Ten, but in the country.
David, Iowa's been fortunate in recent years and for quite some time, I guess, really, when you think about it, to have very good place kickers. And now enter Caleb Shudak, who we've seen on kickoffs. But curious what you saw out of his accuracy and range on Saturday.
Yeah, it was interesting. I actually had Keith Duncan on my podcast this week, and we were talking. I was asking him about Shudak, and he said, look, he pushed me the last 2 years. And I'm like, you know, you were arguably you were the best kicker in the country the year before. And he said, yeah, I know. He said, that Shudak has a cannon for a leg. He's a great guy. And LeVar Woods said he would literally cry if Caleb Shudak ended up leaving the program. And I was impressed with what I saw. Granted, it was a perfect day. The wind wasn't really a factor or anything like that, but nailed in a 51-yard field goal on the right hash. And it looked like it would have been good from 57 or 58 yards. Nailed a 45-yarder. And again, this is a guy who's been around the block. This is his sixth season. I know he hasn't really started, but I think that after what Iowa fans saw on April 17th, I think they're going to feel a little bit more comfortable with the kicking situation. I think you throw in Torrey Taylor and the returners. I do think that, again, I think Iowa has a chance to be one of the better special teams units in the country under LeVar Woods. So, you know, I don't want to put those expectations on Shudak just because we haven't seen a lot of him, but based on, you know, peer reviews and what I saw on Saturday, I think that he can be a very, very good kicker for Iowa this season.
Yeah. One more chance to take a look at this team before spring closes up anyway. And like I said, it was good to see people in the stands. They were hungry to see football, I think, in any way, shape, or form, no matter what it came in. But I would imagine you probably got that from people as well Saturday.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw LeVar Woods' tweet at about 7:20 that morning. He said, I'm on my way to Kinnick, walking in the doors, and there's already people tailgating and yelling, let's go Hawks, to him. And he said that just made his day. And I think it showed me something, too, when Kirk Ferentz made a press box appearance at about 9:20 and chatted with the media for a few minutes, just saying how happy he was that he doesn't have to stare at cardboard cutouts anymore and he can see real fans in the stadium. And just like you said, it was great for me. I showed up early. I was walking around. I just love seeing people back into Kinnick. It was very almost kind of eerie at some points last year without fans in there. You know, they have the fireworks, the big sound effects, and it's like, well, who are you really performing it for? There's nobody here. So, like you said, I thought it was fantastic to have fans back in, and we'll see what the turnout's like on May 1st, and hopefully they can get another perfect day in Kinnick Stadium.
Be good.
And Kirk with a Busch Light reference too, didn't he?
Yeah, he asked us where our Busch Lights were. So that was it doesn't get any more. I think that's probably peak Iowa right there. You don't really get much more Iowan than that. So it was a cool moment after a year of just sort of kind of gray year in Kinnick Stadium. It just didn't feel right. But for the first time in a long while, it felt like the vibe was back. It felt like people were just so happy. And it was like you said, it was awesome to see.
Before we let you go here, next 10 days, you think one or two announcements of basketball players coming in via the transfer portal?
I do think that Iowa will land its first player in the transfer portal within the next 10 days. I will say that. There are rumblings that a couple could be in the works, but as you guys know, recruiting is an absolutely crazy thing, and things can change on a dime, so I don't want to make any guarantees, but based on what I'm hearing right now, I do think that Iowa lands a big man in the next 10 days at this point. Yeah.
They will take it. They will take it. David, appreciate all the information. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it, and we'll talk to you down the line.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Take care. Stay safe.
All right. David Eichel joining us. Covers the Iowa Hawkeyes for 24/7 Sports. Check him out on Twitter. Some good stuff from him for basketball and for football. I really like Logan Jones. I think he is going to be, he's an animal on the defensive line, and I think people are going to really enjoy watching him in a Hawkeye uniform coming up. But we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. Everybody is undefeated in the spring, Mark, as you know.
They are, but some programs feeling better than others right now, and I think we'll know a whole lot more come the fall, but really wonderful that the fans could go back to Kinnick Stadium and get a glimpse, you know, if they chose to, of what's out there. And I'm sure there'll be, I don't know, maybe more on May 1st.
Yeah, I think if the weather's nice, there will be. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and wrap things up on a Monday edition of the Gym Class. Stay with us. More to come after this on KGYM.
We know that we can count on DePaco to help us reach our dreams. They're always there for us. After my father had passed away, I'd gotten some of the guns. It just brought back memories of us going hunting Christmas morning, Thanksgiving morning. That was just time that I wished I had more of. You reflect on things and wished you could have done things different. I had time and I just completely took them apart. It just really intrigued me how the parts all worked together and everything. I enjoyed it. Then that's when I started looking into gunsmithing schools.
Usually I'm the one with the dream and then he somehow makes it happen. So I called DePaco and I got a hold of Cassie and she found a way to make it happen. DePaco has always been there for us. So as soon as we got the loan, I knew that our future was going to go down a different path.
I think he'd be very impressed that I chose to go this route.
Your money for good. Learn more at DePaco.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Goodyear knows the importance of keeping momentum as you head down the stretch. Momentum starts with movement. It's pulled from the air like a contested rebound. Momentum builds with steals and fast breaks, and is proven by deep threes as the shot clock expires. Momentum is how we change the game, and now it's time to discover where it can take us. Goodyear, more driven.
Napa Know How.
At Napa, you don't need to be a magician to pull 20% savings out of thin air. All you need is a bucket. Yep, you can magically save on three or more items with a $2.99 Napa bucket. So use whatever magical catchphrase you want, like Abraca Bucket, or Alaka Savings, or Bippity Boppity Bucket, and save 20% today. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating locations, exclusions apply. May not be combined with other offers. Offer ends 4/30/21.
Back with you to wrap things up on the Monday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. Cole Bear will join us tomorrow. Covers the UNI Panthers for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We'll take a look back at the UNI spring football season and what it was. Panthers not a part of the 16-team playoff field for spring football for 2021. So we'll talk with Cole about that. Caddy Smack coming up on Wednesday. A reminder, the gym is partnered with Fairfax State Savings Bank to bring you KGYM's Community MVP. If your organization has a charity or a fundraising event coming up, we want to help you get the word out. Please submit your information at least 60 days prior to your event, and if selected, your event will be featured on the air and online. More information is available at kgymradio.com. A couple of texts to get to. 1238, what about Chris Murray? Chris is going to play a significant role next year. It would be against Chris to expect him to splash in like Keegan did. I don't think that would be fair. Let Chris do his own thing. But definitely, yeah, Chris Murray is going to be a part of the plans for Iowa basketball coming up next year. And I agree with Fran 7176. The transfer portal is awful. and 6 of the 16 spots in the Division I AA or FCS playoffs went to the Missouri Valley Football Conference.
Yeah, and strange to see Northern Iowa's name not on any of the lines, but we'll talk with Cole Bear a little bit about that tomorrow and see about the prospects for the fall.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, our condolences going out to friends of ours, Mark, Del Klein, Hall of Famer, passing away over the weekend, and a member of the Bowling Hall of Fame here locally. And our thoughts go out to son Kevin and the rest of the family. We'll miss Dell. He was there during most of the last few years, a long time with the Evergreen League. So we'll miss Dell.
Yeah, he was an officer in the league and bowled out there a long time. And when health didn't allow him to bowl anymore, he was still out there each and every week. And he was a jokester. He's a treasure. Yeah, I agree with you, Scott.
Yeah, very much so. And we will miss him, no doubt about it. And the bowling community will miss him as well. More on C.J. Frederick and the transfer portal coming up with the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way from 4 until 6. No Twins baseball tonight once again. There is a doubleheader tomorrow now at 5 o'clock, 2 7-inning games. We'll have it on 107.5 FM for you starting again at 5 o'clock with that. Cole Bear coming up tomorrow. Mark, have a good night.
Will do. Talk to you then.
All right. You've been listening to the Gym Class, KGY.
Spring makes all things new, and the Home Depot makes all spring things possible. Start a garden, refinish a deck, use our